This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. We may be a comic duo, but we take mental health very serious. BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service and is completely online. BetterHelp is a network with over 30,000 licensed and experienced therapists who can help you with a wide range of issues. To get started, answer a few questions, and BetterHelp can match you with the right therapist from their network.
You can message your therapist at any time and schedule live sessions when it's convenient for you. If your therapist isn't the right fit for any reason, you can switch to a new therapist at no additional charge. With BetterHelp, you get the same professionalism and quality you expect from in-office therapy, but with a therapist who is custom-picked for you, more scheduling flexibility, and at a more affordable price. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/amp. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/amp.
Oh, grab your coffee, grab your tea. It is Tuesday night, and I have peppermint tea right now because I didn't really eat all day and then got home and then couldn't stop eating. I hate those days because I like to graze all day long. And then when I don't get to eat, I have to catch up. We're going to talk about procrastination today. The professional procrastinators. So it's so funny. I'm going to start off with a funny story on Sunday. I woke up and actually let me start over again. So all week long, my husband kept saying that he was going to go grocery shopping early Sunday morning. And okay, that's fine. You know, he didn't ask me to go with him. He was going to make a list, all this fun stuff. So Saturday came around and he was like, yeah, I'm going to go shopping tomorrow morning. And then, then I'll be done for the week. I can meal plan. I can do whatever. He started a new diet. So he just wants to make sure he's got everything he needs. So I wake up on Sunday and I'm surprised that he's still home. It was like 7 a.m. or something. I was just making some coffee and I was surprised he's still home. And I said, did you go shopping already? Because I figured, wow, he went and he's back already. And he said, no, I know that you have to work on your book later and I'm going to be super bored. So I'll just go then. And I was watching my coffee like brew and I'm like, that was a really weird response because he like used me as a reason that he wasn't shopping. And we both had a good laugh because I looked at him and I said, that's so weird because we're very independent people. Like we don't need to worry about what each other is doing to act on something else that we're doing. You know, like it had nothing to do with me working on my book that he was going to wait to get bored and then go shopping. And I was just like, that is so weird. He's just a procrastinator. And so we laughed about it, but I call him the professional procrastinator. But if you're unfamiliar with that, because you haven't been blessed with someone that's a procrastinator around you, it's delaying or postponing tasks or actions. And sometimes it's to the point where they're overdue or neglected. And it's just involves voluntary choosing to put off something that needs to be done, despite knowing that there may be negative consequences associated with the delay. So you see a lot of that sometimes. Well, I shouldn't say you see a lot of it. You could see a lot of it at work, or you could see a lot of it at home, like paying bills, or you know, if you don't have them on auto pay, you know, you actually have to take the time after work or in the morning before everybody's awake and, you know, figure out all your bills or anything like that. And, you know, a lot of people like to procrastinate that or procrastinate laundry or shopping. Like my husband was procrastinating on shopping because he really doesn't like to do it. So he was just like, well, I guess I'll go later when you're doing stuff. And, you know, because you can't go with me because you're going to be busy and blah, blah, blah. Oh, gosh. So he also is a morning person. So if he'll talk about it all day about what he's going to do, and if he misses that morning hour where he is fresh and can get stuff done, then he talks about it a whole nother day of like, oh no, you know what? I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it, you know, and we're all like that. I'm just using him as an example because of our conversation on Sunday morning. So the only thing that I want to chat on is if you have someone that blames you for their procrastination. So that's tough because it can be a little bit frustrating for both people and challenging to handle. You know, if someone says, well, you had to take a shower, so now I have to wait and now we can't go, or, you know, something like that. If they're blaming you for their procrastination, during these types of things where you, it's like a full out, they're blaming you and that's why they can't get something done, but you know for a fact that you're not stopping them, you have to stay calm, because it's definitely natural to feel defensive or upset when someone blames you for their procrastination. So you have to try and stay calm. And because reacting emotionally, like for me, I just started laughing because I was like, what are you talking about? You didn't want to go shopping, but now you're going to turn it around and blame it on me, which whatever. If you react emotionally, it can escalate the situation and then it just makes the procrastination even longer, right? Have you ever had those arguments where you're just like, well, if you would have done it yesterday, and then you start arguing and then all of a sudden it's not being done until 2 days from then because everybody's mad. You know, oh gosh, that's the worst because you just want to get it done, right? You want to paint that front door, but it rained. Okay, that's fine. It rained. You had a reason. Then you want to paint the front door on Sunday morning, but then maybe someone wanted to go out to breakfast or someone didn't wake up in time because they wanted to wake up naturally. So then it's like, well, you didn't wake up and I didn't want to make noise, or you didn't pick out the right color. Or I wasn't sure if you liked this color, so I didn't start the project. You know, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about when people blame you for procrastination. Listen to the person. Give that person a chance to explain why they feel that you're responsible. I mean, if you know because you're used to this, because it's a habit for them to blame others and to blame you, it's going to be hard to listen, right? But just give them a chance to explain why. And then, you know, listen attentively without interrupting them. Let them share how they feel about that. And even if you disagree with their perspective, just listen to everything and then try to break it down with them. I think some good examples are, for example, like a group project. So we'll step away from the spouses and partners for a minute. Group projects. So let's just say a team member fails to complete their portion of a group project on time and blames you for not providing enough guidance or support, even though they had ample opportunity to ask for help or clarification. That would be one example. Work assignments. So that's tough, right? So let's just say a colleague misses a deadline for a shared task and blames you for not providing necessary information or resources, even though they had access to the required material or the shared materials, and they also could have clarified any uncertainties earlier than when it was due. How about household chores? How about a roommate or a spouse that neglects to do their assigned household chores and blames you for not reminding them, even though the responsibilities were clearly delegated and they had ample time to complete the tasks, right? Like, you're going to do the dishes, I'm going to do the vacuuming, but then the dishes sit and it's because you were too loud with the vacuum, so they didn't have time to do the dishes. You know, it's just, you know, we hear it all, especially with household chores, especially with laundry. So they just blame you for not reminding them. Like, oh, I thought I had the vacuuming, but then you did the vacuuming, so then I thought you were going to do the dishes too. Oh, come on. You know, it's tough to live or to have to talk with a procrastinator, because they always come up with different ideas, right? How about event planning? A friend fails to make necessary arrangements for an event and blames you for not taking the lead, even though the responsibilities were shared and they were clearly assigned beforehand. Oh, I thought you were going to call the florist. No, I thought you were going to call the venue. Oh, well, because you called the florist, I figured you were going to call the venue. You know, so that kind of thing as well. Academic collaboration, which would kind of fall under group projects or work assignments too, right? A classmate falls behind on a group project and blames you for not coordinating meetings. Oh, well, I thought you said we were going to meet on Tuesday morning, but I didn't hear from you, so I didn't get anything done. Or they blame you for not coordinating and sharing necessary documents. You didn't add me to that document. Oh, I didn't see the email that you added me to that document. Even though they could have taken initiative to organize the discussions, or they could have contributed to the project. I have some friends that are actually students, and this is something that actually happens a lot, where there might be a group of five or six of them, and there's always one. That's what I hear, that there's always one that does nothing. You know, or they just don't get the email, or they don't get the text, or they don't show up to the meetings, or they don't go on the Zoom, or they don't, you know, and there's just always one. And then at the end, that person's still getting the A or the B that the whole group did. And it's a little frustrating for the group. It's a lot frustrating, actually, for the group. And then how about personal goals? This is a big one. Your partner misses a deadline for a personal goal and blames you for not providing enough motivation or encouragement. I've heard that too. Even though they had the autonomy and resources to pursue their goal independently, oh, well, if I wouldn't have eaten the cookies if you didn't buy them. Or I would have went for a walk, but you told me that I had to stay home and do this and this and this. I had to do the dishes, so I couldn't go for a walk. You know, so when people really don't want to do something, you know, these are perfect examples of if they really don't want to do something, they're going to blame you or others for their procrastination on it. So the individual is deflecting responsibility for the procrastination onto someone else, despite having the ability and the opportunity to take action themselves. So you have to remember right away that it's not you. It's always, that's what this podcast is always about. It's not you, you're not alone, and it's all about how you can take it in and you can help this person, right? Handling such situations requires a delicate balance of assertiveness, empathy, problem solving to address the underlying issues and find constructive solutions. So let's talk about how we can help others. Like we just talked about how we would react. We would stay calm. We would be assertive. We would show empathy to this person because there's always a reason why someone does something. Unintentional, of course. You know, I'm not talking about hurting you or something, but you know, there's always a reason why they do something. So let's maybe talk about how we can help them. You definitely want to listen to understand. That's a big one. Start by listening. Understand where they're coming from. Listen without judgment. Understand the reasons behind their procrastination if you can, if they give you enough information, whether it's maybe fear or failure. Failure is a big one. People want to put themselves out there. They want to put themselves out there, but they're just afraid of failure. A lack of motivation, another good one, especially nowadays. I feel like people really have to be strong and full of motivation to get something done or just feeling overwhelmed. There's a lot to do in this lifetime, right? There's a lot to do every week for us. So listen to understand and just see what the reasoning is and understand what the reasoning is. Definitely encourage goal setting. Help them set clear, achievable goals. You may have to break those goals down, right? You got to break larger tasks into smaller, more manageable steps to make progress seem less daunting. And that happens to a lot of us, I think. You have this huge goal. For example, let's talk weight loss. I hate talking weight loss, but let's just say you have to lose 100 pounds. That sounds like a lot. So you got to break it down by the week or by the month. The first month, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. That's 10%. Or the first week, I'm going to just go for 2 pounds. Maybe I'll stop drinking pop. Maybe I won't get that ice cream on Friday night. Maybe I won't have that second burger or hot dog, or maybe I'll eat a salad instead of eating fast food one night. You know, your goal is just 2 pounds a week instead of thinking of 100 pounds that you have to lose. So break it down into smaller tasks. Try to create a plan with them. Work together to create a realistic action plan, whether it's, you know, you can type it up on the computer, you can write it down, you can whiteboard it, whatever you want to do to create a plan with them. And set deadlines and prioritize the tasks to keep them on track. Like for this week, what are you going to do? You know, I'm going to eat a salad 3 nights this week. Perfect. Write it down. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, I'm going to have a salad. Every other day, it's, you know, maybe the same for now because you don't want to overwhelm yourself. Then you can prioritize, show them how they can prioritize themselves along with tasks. Like you remind them that they want to be healthier, maybe. You're going to go for a walk every day. You're going to spend 20 minutes outside. Take the dog for a walk. Go walk the park. Go on the swings. Go be a kid again for 20 minutes. Just get outside, away from the house, away from the kitchen, you know, whatever. Whatever, you know, both parties agree on. But create that plan. You can provide accountability if they want it. Offer to be an accountability partner. You know, if it's just a text a day, if it's a call a day, if it's they're having a bad day, they just want to, you know, check in with you regularly to see how they're progressing. And then always offer encouragement and support. Always, always with procrastination. You have to, you know, what got done today? Nothing got done today. Well, you know what? That's one step back, but that's okay. Let's go 2 steps forward tomorrow. What will you do tomorrow? Write 3 or 4 things down and make sure they get it done. Give them a text or a call if you can. Offer guidance. You can share your own strategies for overcoming procrastination. Maybe you were once someone that hated paying bills or hated doing laundry. Maybe you have some ideas. Maybe it's just that thing that you do. You just know you wake up on a early Friday morning and it's laundry morning. You get downstairs or you go to the laundry, whatever you do, and you throw in the whites and that's your Friday morning. You know, just show them how, and no matter what, you are not allowed to do anything. Have a cup of coffee until that first load is put in the washer. I don't know, just anything like that. Most of you know this who have listened or listened to the Kolopin Effect with Cass. I'm a runner. And for me, my bed has to be made. This probably sounds silly, but it's a little ritual that I have. I have to have a cup of coffee. My bed has to be made. Everything has to be kind of picked up around the house. And then I get dressed and I go outside and I go for a 5 to 10 mile run. It's just something that I like to do because when I come back from running, depending on how the run is, I may be too tired to make the bed or do the laundry or pick up the house a little bit. So I do it and I only give myself about 20 to 25 minutes to do all of this just so I can go run and not think about anything that I have to do after the run, except for maybe working if it's a work day. Then I'm just thinking about getting ready to log in or getting ready to go to a store or getting ready to talk to someone for a meeting, something like that. Everyone's different though. You know, some people may be able to go for a run and then come home and do their things. For me, I have to get everything done because I know I'll be a little bit tired or I'll just be focused on the next thing. And so if I don't get it done in the morning, then I know it's not going to get done until the next morning. And if I don't get it done that morning, then it's two mornings. So that's just how I think. And that's how I've learned. At one point, I was a slight procrastinator. So that's just how I've learned. Definitely. And as always with any of this, celebrate your progress. Acknowledge and celebrate achievements, no matter how small. I don't care if you put a pair of underwear in the wash machine because you got to wash your underwear. Okay, let's just say that. You got to wash them. You put a pair of it in there and you leave them there and you have to rewash them because you forget about them, then put them in the dryer. Celebrate that because you did it because you hate laundry and it sits there and you hate it. But you know what? You went and did the act of it and that's it. Celebrate it. You got clean underwear for a day, you know? Oh gosh, positive reinforcement helps boost motivation and confidence. So celebrate it. Celebrate all of it. You took the dog for a walk. It was a half a mile longer than normal. It was 5 minutes longer than normal. Your dog's happy for sure. And you can celebrate that. Be patient and supportive. We take steps back. We're human. We take steps back. But taking a step forward, two steps forward, that's celebration. Being supportive means understanding that overcoming procrastination is a process that takes time and effort. It's not going to just happen overnight, as with anything. As with any kind of habit forming, anything like that, it does not happen overnight. Be patient and supportive. Support yourself or support the person that procrastinates. Avoid criticizing them or you if you're the procrastinator. Don't criticize yourself. Don't pressure yourself. Don't pressure them. Don't criticize them. Just allow it to happen and then back to creating the plan, back to providing accountability, you know, back to offering guidance or helping people stay organized or helping yourself stay organized. And then as always, seek professional help if needed. We say that every time. If it's impacting your life, their life, mental health, seek a professional so that they can help you. Always approach the situation with empathy and understanding. Procrastination is a common challenge. You're not alone, right? The whole point of this podcast and the book, you are not alone. So it's a common challenge. But you know what? You can do it. The person that you're supporting can do it. It takes time. It takes patience. But you're amazing. The person that you're supporting is amazing. And once again, we got this. Have a good day. Have a good night. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other.